We're going to get to Will Perdue in just a moment here, sponsored by Calamos Investments. This is Anna DeVlantis in for Lisa Dent. First, though, I got to take this call. Cheryl says she disagrees with Patrick, who was just on. He's a server. He said he really didn't like it that someone had a $1,000 bill and didn't leave him, you know, very much money on that. Go ahead, Cheryl. What do you disagree with there? He seemed like such a nice guy.
Well, I just disagree with, because I think he said something that 20% is the norm. I don't agree with that. 15% for me is a normal tip. But my point is that I tip commensurate with the service I receive. So if I get really bad service, I'm not going to leave a 15 or 20% tip. And that's awful. I mean, on a $1,000 bill, they should have left more. That's terrible. But if a bad or a good waiter can make or break your experience. Mm-hmm. So I think that's what you're... tipping should be based on. There shouldn't be like it has to be 20%.
Yeah,
I think it's gotta be with what your service is.
Last night we were out to dinner and this gentleman just made our night. He was like so great. We're like, my sister and I tipped him 25%. And I agree they can. I just think you also have to take in what's your low though? Your low, because you know they're relying on that for their, you know, that's how they make their money.
If you don't greet me or if the food's getting slammed down on the table, like 10% is probably the low. And honestly and truly, there have been times where I haven't left a tip at all. If it's a really bad experience, I mean, I'm sorry.
All right. Thank you, Cheryl. Appreciate those comments. Just wanted to get her in there. But now it's time for Will Perdue. Will, how the heck are you? What's going on?
Well, I'm doing okay today. I think today's weather is kind of indicative of about of the second half of last night's game, but since we were on the topic of gratuity, I will say the one thing, as you just pointed out, you know, the one thing that I've learned is, and you know, my wife's in the business of hospitality, and the one thing they try to strive is as you just pointed out, is that service can make the evening go from good to great. Because the one thing that I've always thought about, and she's kind of hammered home, is that you can go to a restaurant that has good food and great service, and you will always go back, always. But you can go to a place that has great food and bad service, and you'll question whether you want to go back or not because the service is so bad. And that's kind of how you have to weigh it. But I think one thing that she has said is, on a whole, those that have been, you know, back out, those that have been, you know, visiting restaurants, bars, taverns, have been pretty gracious on a whole.
Yeah.
But the one thing that they try to remind their employees is that, you know, you can make or break the whole evening for that individual.
Mm-hmm.
And the better service, 99.9% of the time, the better tips you will get. You know, the interesting thing is, what you should have asked that server was, do they operate in a pool house, meaning that everybody puts into the kitty so that the stronger servers help pick up the weaker servers and make it a better experience for everybody? Or is it a house that they each individual keeps their own tips? Because that in itself can cause some issues as well.
Yeah. I think we've talked about tipping right now because we got some other things we need to talk about here before we run out of time. Okay. I mean, come on. The Bulls, they were on this hot streak, and then yesterday it all kind of just fell apart. What happened?
Well, listen, they were up 21 points. I think they just then put it into coast mode. They allowed the Pacers to make a run, get it into single digits. And then they thought that, hey, I have an opportunity. You let teams hang around when you have an opportunity to knock them out, kind of like a boxer. You know, you got him on the ropes, you got an eight count. You want to knock this guy out, end the fight, you know, put it away. They didn't do that. And this has kind of been their MO this year, unfortunately, that teams will have noticed that, you know, the Bulls get up big leads, but they have a tendency to let teams back into the game. So the teams are confident that they can compete with the Bulls and they can play with them. You know, it just seems like every single time that they start to make a run, meaning, you know, win some games in a row, we start to feel good about the team and we see progress, but it's kind of like two steps forward, one step back.
The other thing I keep hearing is they're able to beat the good teams and then not do kind of falter with the not so good teams, and that's been one of the things that have characterized their season. Do you agree with that?
It has been. I mean, you're talking about an Indiana Pacers team that Halliburton, their best player's out with injury. They lost seven in a row. They just have not been playing very, very well. And if you go back to the first half, Indiana was not playing very well. And part of that was because of the defense that the Bulls were employing and how their offense was running. But I don't know if they took a little nap at halftime. But Billy even mentioned that, hey, this team has a tendency, this team being the Pacers, get down early, get down big early, but find a way to get themselves back into the game. They're scrappy. And I don't know if the guys weren't listening, they weren't paying attention, but, you know, for this team to get to the next level, meaning, you know, for us as fans and for this team to really believe in themselves and for us to believe in them as a playoff team, those type of things have to stop, and they have to be more consistent in how they win games.
Well, I got to ask you a question. Did you get to go to Paris for that whole really wow trip that they were on?
No, I unfortunately, I think my name was on the guest list, but it was so far down the list that I never was able to make the trip, much less be able to get on the charter. So maybe next time.
Oh, that is too bad. It looked like so much fun. I saw the players posting pictures and having a blast out there. And I know the NBA really has goals to, recruit more viewers over there, just like the NFL is trying to expand internationally. Do you think that's really going to work? I know a lot of players come from Europe, but is there really an audience there for American basketball in Europe? What do you think?
Oh, there's a huge audience, not only in Europe, but also in Asia. I mean, the game is worldwide. And as you talked about, I mean, you could make an argument that the three best players in the league right now, you know, are European or foreigners, however you want to refer to it, because of the popularity of the game. They all want to come over here because, you know, the NBA is the best league in the world. Other leagues are good, but not as good as the NBA. But it's a very popular, but I just don't think because of the time change, because of the travel that – you know, you heard the NFL talk about it, too. We may be able to put a team in Mexico, but that may be it. I just don't think that, you know, outside of the North America, that this is something that we're able to succeed in because of the time change and the amount of travel mm-hmm. required by the teams to go over there and consistently play.
Yeah, that it does seem like it takes a lot out of them. Can we chalk this loss up to that? Does that work for you or no?
I wish we could, but, you know, we played well against the Golden State Warriors.
All right.
We played well against the Atlanta Hawks, okay. So I just don't think we can use that as a reason.
Okay, we won't. How about Lonzo Ball? Is he going to be back? What can you tell us?
When people ask that question, I say you're better off preparing for the answer that he probably won't play. So that way, if he does play, then we can all get excited about it. But the news has been better, but it just hasn't been what we would like to hear, and I'm just not sure that he's going to be able to get back in shape and be ready to play before they hit that window where they have to shut him down.
He posted that really cool shot of him on Instagram, I think it was, him dunking, and everyone got excited, and then later someone here kind of knows a lot more about basketball than I do said, no, that's not that athletic. That's not that. Don't get so excited about that move. That doesn't mean he's totally healthy again. What did you make of that?
I think that was more of a, I want to let you know I'm getting better, but I'm still a ways away.
Yeah, I guess that's good. I like that. I like that, Will. Any closing thoughts for us other than things on tipping? I think we've talked enough about that. Anything on the Bulls you want to finish off with?
You know, the thing is, Anna, that this is a talented team even without Lonzo Ball. But the question is, can Billy and the players get on the same page so that they can figure out what is ailing this team? They can correct the issues, but it's not something that cannot happen. It's just whether the team can come together as one and Billy can push the right buttons mm-hmm. to make it happen.
Well, Purdue, good talking with you. Thank you.
Anna, thank you for being in today. I appreciate it.
Nice talking with you. That's Will Purdue. Hoops Talk with Will Purdue, sponsored by Calamos Investments. Bottom of the hour time. It's time for the news here on WGN.